In the old days, a lot of times a spiritual tradition would be there that in beginning something, we would actually ask permission to even be here. So asking permission from the place, from the energy of this place. And so, in that kind of spirit, we can attend to just now, how are you? Where are you? And is there a sense of having permission to be here? And if there is permission to be here, or if there would be, then how would your body be? How would your body be on the ground? So we start to have more permission to be here, not to be here like Buddha, but to actually be here as ourselves, as you. And so, really giving a few minutes of slowly letting your body find its way here. And today, and through the whole week, having this chance to really notice when you just were lying down, because everybody was lying down, so you're supposed to lie down, right? The kind of we get into a rush, or we get into the mode of copying. And if we could not rush, but come back in and feel, where am I? What am I doing? And if I could be here, if I were allowed to be here as me, whatever that may be. Then how does that make a difference for the left ankle and the lower back and the fingers and the space between the fingers and the space between the eyes? We're allowed to be in this thing that we call body, and the body is allowed to be here. Or we can find our way of asking permission and being let in so we can start to feel the body and the ground and the air. And so please notice what feels really at ease in your body physically, and what doesn't quite. And is there anything you could do with the material you have right next to you? To put something under your knees, or to slide back so your heels, the feet are really supported. And around the head and neck, sometimes people need pillows, but sometimes we're just thinking, oh, when I lie down, I use a pillow. And maybe you actually don't need a pillow for a meditation lying down. Some people do. The majority of people, most people, don't need a pillow under their head for lying down meditation on the back. So, kind of entering the neck and head very gently. With respect. So, with permission to enter our own body. And then letting things start to have a sense that they could spread out. So, the lower back, the sacrum, like a bag of sand that's we're opening and spilling the sand on the ground, or the bag is falling apart, heavy and loose. In the back of the head, another bag of sand or grains. That's on the ground. We can really feel that head, not as this abstract place full of images and words only, but also a thing that's actually on the ground. And how do we know that it's on the ground? What tells us that? And when we're ready, just for a few moments, to kind of open the floodgate, open the door to all those sensations that we can feel that tell us there's a body on the ground in the air. Even if we just stay in the back of the head, we can feel heaviness and hardness and movement, density, softness. Textures, temperatures. Do we dare to really open the door all the way to feel all that we can feel? Not just in a rush, not just, oh, it feels hot, it feels cold, it feels heavy, but all the different kinds of heaviness and lightness. All the many temperatures. And what happens if that back of the head place is actually really allowed to be here? Does that make any shift around the jaws, mouth, lips, ears? It's allowed to be heavy, to open. And so, what if we spread this message sort of through the body that it's allowed to be heavy and open, like a bag of sand? And maybe the bag of sand was tied closed, and now we're untying the bag. And we're not used to that untying, loosening. And so that is a practice. It's part of this practice. Again and again, just that, as if we have this big, heavy bag of wheat or sand or whatever. And we open the bag. Ugh. Again and again. But enjoying the and also how that release that can happen, allowed to be here. Just in one small place, the elbow between the shoulder blades, the tailbone, the heel. We can feel that relief feeling of heaviness and openness, and how even if one part of the body, is allowed to be here, the shifts that happen from there. And how that makes it easy to feel all that we feel. And it makes more temperatures and heavinesses and lightnesses available. So just the body on the ground and the space around the body. And there's already room for two really interesting things. One is just body and ground and space around. And whose body is that? There's room for that really interesting question. What is this thing? Whose is it? How does it make itself? Doesn't necessarily need to be mental questions, but there's room for that feeling of awe, surrealness, weirdness, wonder. Knowing that I don't know. There's room for knowing I do not know. And even though I don't know, I'm somehow called in. And a second interesting thing that can happen right away, we're just arriving slowly into a body, into a place. Body, ground, air. We can start to catch the sense of how we treat ourselves. Are we pushing? Are we giving up already? What's the relationship to the voice of a teacher? What's the relationship of thinking I have something I'm supposed to do? And meanwhile, here goes this body on and on and on. In any moment, so many experiences, and already the next moment, so many experiences. More than I can catch with my usual catcher. And so we relax more and let this flow of unbelievable, so many tastes and colors and sounds and textures, so many kinds of texture and temperature, density, movement. We don't have to catch them after all. It's not about me catching it. And so then here's another practice that we're not good at. and will keep coming to, is asking that me that wants to do the job, or that wants to be against doing the job, or whatever, asking that me not to take up all the space. Asking that me to be less in the middle of things, more on the side. And so we just notice that there's me pressuring me to try to feel everything, or to try to stay true to the just the feeling of the lower back on the ground, or anything that's gotten your interest in this body experience. There's me, and there's just this actual flow of experience. And they really have nothing much to do with each other. So we can let me be over on one side, and meanwhile this flow of experience going on. The toes feel cool, the belly feels warm, or whatever you feel. But it's not abstract. Having permission to be here, we keep noticing that there's this really specific, real experience that's going on that we can't catch. That we really can feel how different the skin on the cheek and the skin above the lip and the skin on the lip and the skin inside the lip, how different they all are. We can catch it in a different kind of way in a split second without words. And we're allowed to enjoy this inborn capacity to feel the body. This natural ability to feel way more than we could ever describe in words. We're allowed to enjoy waking up the feeling. It's sensuous and delicious. There's nothing wrong when it's fun and yummy. We start to let the joyful, yummy experience of waking up to our own ability to feel, we start to let that take us deeper rather than take us to words. And so if you wish, we could just play with being in the feet for a while. So a continual discovery of what we call feet is like now. And as we allow the many sensations in one or both feet to be discovered, to be revealed. You can also get to have a good friendship with your own mind. You can start to notice how your mind absorbs the flow of experience well. If it works well for you to feel the whole foot, all of it, or whether it feels good to go to one more specific place between the toes, for example, that skin. Between the big toe and the next toe. So we can stay open, and we can also start to notice what are the tendencies. So there might be a habit of getting really specific or staying really broad. And there might be a natural way of deepening that might be different from the habit. And that's where yam goes deeper. More aliveness comes in, more ease comes in. We feel something that it's kind of enlivening to be able to feel that. I haven't felt my foot before or in a long time or in that way. And that edge of discovery is enlivening. And if we stay relaxed and restful, that can take us deeper. We just allow the feet to be simple feet. We allow this childlike sort of running right into the middle of direct experience. Anything. Rolling around in it. Anything in the foot. But not trying to make an experience. So we're allowing, enlivening, and resting it at the same time. And very important, we just keep noticing that again, there's foot experience, and again, there's foot experience. And whatever I feel just right now is now gone. Completely gone. Before I can call it warm or cold. So this wide flow, we let life be free to be here and gone, precisely here in exactly that way and completely gone. It's very thorough. And so you see, we don't have to do much work because it's already being done for us. In our experience already is that precise exact unique possibly experience. And before it could be altered in any way, before it could be owned in any way, it's gone. And so your best guess of where in your body and mind you feel happy to hear that. You feel really glad that life is allowed to be that alive and you're allowed to feel it in these really simple, ordinary ways. That warmth or coolness, that contraction or openness. Because sometimes it could be good to have a place in the body that you could kind of hang out in, and from there allow this huge flow of experience to be itself. Maybe the feet, maybe the lower belly or the back of the body, sometimes the chest. Those are the four most common places. Feet, lower belly, back, or chest. Being allowed to be here and to be ourselves, the body also allowed to be itself, the breath allowed to be itself. And even that me part that's pushy or gives up too soon or whatever it does, allowed to be here, but not necessarily driving the vehicle. As if it's just another temperature that we can feel. The fact that there's a sense of me. And sometimes we're that rested or quiet or that tired or desperate. Or at peace, that we could just allow that huge flow of all those experiences. Receive it clearly and letting it go in the same moment. Letting it be itself, in other words. And there could be a sense of enjoyment of being heavy on the ground and open. And letting the life flow through. But usually there'll be times where it's important for the mind to have something more to do. And so only when that's needed, but whenever that feels appropriate, we could more strongly feel that place in the body, foot, lower belly, back, chest, or wherever, hands. So we can feel the ground, the whole body, that one place as a center of a solar system of experience. And then often really climbing inside the kind of silky breath. Can be really worthwhile. Nourishing, relieving, empowering. And we're allowed to enjoy that moment of just slipping inside the breath. And whatever it was that I was thinking about, planning, worrying, excited, fantasizing, whatever. Ah, I can deal with that later. Whatever that was, it's. A relief to stop thinking about it for a while, maybe. And to have this company of the breath, to be inside the silky breath. So, body heavy and loose and open. And maybe a place in the body to rest into. If you're not sure, I would recommend the back of the body or the lower belly, more often useful for people. But wherever you are, the feeling of getting out of the way, resting back, and letting experience come. and be its precise, alive and gone self, so to speak. Slippery and present. Surprising and ordinary. And leaving room for thinking way out there or all over the place. But meanwhile, still the body is heavy and loose and open. And the experience is full and gone. Does anyone have a question? How am I doing?
So nice to see you.
I'm really glad to be here. And especially in this year of a lot of change in my life, it's not obvious that I would necessarily come back to the same place the second time, third time. The second half of the year, I'm not planning any single retreat for the first time in 17 years or something, because I'm moving back to India right the day after leaving here. So I feel a sense of generosity of life that I was able to come back. Yeah. And I feel delighted to be going home to India. Anyone have anything to ask? Or
just about the position here, because I'm so close to you. Can I be like feet about you? Is it okay?
Oh, fine. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She's just asking if it's okay to have the feet pointing to me, and that's fine. Yeah. And if you go to India, don't do that to other people, to Indians. For me, it's fine. So maybe in the first, I'm going to speak for maybe 15 minutes so that we can get to bed after a long day for some of us. But maybe just in the beginning, have the chance to feel either the question, what am I doing here again? but really open, what am I doing here? And that could be here in this room and also here on this planet, whatever size question fits you. And to really ask the question, if it fits you. Starting to feel what are the assumptions about why you're here, why you're supposed to want to be here, why you're supposed to be here, and why you're really here. And a good answer could be that I don't know. Or there might be many, many, many answers why I'm here. In the meditation, we talked about having permission to be here, or just that sense of welcome. Meditation as welcome. Life as welcome. And how does that work? What does it mean to have an attitude of welcome? Sometimes a shift happens when there's a sense of welcome. Not just thinking I should feel welcome or something like that, but sometimes there's a sense of welcome. And what is that shift? From what to what? So here's already two kind of lines or threads of questioning that you could really stay with through the week and through the year, through the life. What am I doing here could include what do I want? And taking the question more deeply, again and again, more deeply. What do I want? And why do I want that? What do I want about that? There's a teaching called the Tao Te Ching. I think I shared something from here last year as well. And I'm using the translation by Stephen Mitchell, which is poetic. I think in keeping with the original, but I don't know Chinese, so I don't know. And the first line is, if you want to become whole, whole, like entire, complete. If you want to become whole, complete, let yourself be partial. If you want to become straight, let yourself be crooked. And it goes on from there. But I like it. If you want to become whole, it does, it invites us, what do I want? And again, just like feeling the lower back or the hand, we'll find that there's not just one want. There's so many different kinds of sensation in the hand. And even if the hand generally feels warm or cold, there's so many colds and warms. And so we could feel all the different wants. And we could feel that there's a friendship in one sort of tone of wanting. That we could feel that tone of wanting, for example, to become whole. We could feel that wanting in so many ways. We could feel it from below and above and inside and outside and all around. So we can welcome and leave room for lots of different wants. All of them, maybe. And we can leave room for this sort of deep movement where hardly can we say, I want. To become whole. Wholeness wants to happen, or something longs for something called whole, that sounds like wholeness. But I think if you notice the moments of that kind of deep want or longing or calling, there's not really an I. It's not I want. The sentence starts at the verb. It starts with wanting to become whole. And then, if we kind of keep letting the sentence start later, we might even leave out the verb want. And we just are there with wholeness and a sense of being drawn into wholeness. So, I want to be my true nature, whatever it might be. And then we notice it's not really, the I is just in the way. It's not helping the sentence out in any way. But want to be in my true nature. Wanting to be in my true nature is going on. I can feel that ache in my heart or whatever. I wish. I notice the lack of that and it hurts. And if we don't, again, pay too much attention to the lack of it, and we start the sentence even later just with true nature, And we let that kind of response and resonance with true nature happen. That starts to be a process. Does that make sense? Does it not make sense? So what you want, and then sort of getting yourself to relax enough that you're allowed to want that. It's not your wanting. So there's wanting that, and then let the wanting get out of the way too. And there's that. And so this welcoming mode where we welcome everything, we can welcome I and wanting and what is wanted. But the welcoming mode is, again, it's a question, a practice. What is that shift that can happen when we feel welcome? Welcomed and welcoming and just welcome. We can feel a shift out of a sort of attack mode where we're attacked and attacker. So the shift into welcome starts to show that I and that wanting its place, where it fits in without taking over it. It starts to let it have its smallness within something bigger. So small mind is allowed and welcome. And when it's allowed and welcome, we've shifted into a big mind that has room for small mind. So it's not welcome as an excuse to just get tangled up more in small mind. It's not saying that we want to stay in tangled in habit energies. But habit energies are welcome, which is good because they happen. And we don't have a way of cutting it off. We have to find the way of getting disentangled and being moved in another way. And one of the movements that we can feel for when it's happening, if we can use the metaphor of puppies, on the retreat that I taught last in January in India, we had 2 7-day retreats together. And sometime in the middle of the retreats, 2 puppies were left at the ashram in the night. Probably whoever left them knew that they would find a good home there. So, but dogs in India, it's not necessarily a bad idea to keep some distance, depending on how clean the dog is, how diseased the dog is, etc. So the puppies arrived and they were still in their puppy mode. And so they would, the meditation space doesn't have walls. It has a roof and some sort of fly screen, but it's open. And the puppies came to meditation. And apparently they would find their way to that person who was ready to welcome them. And just curl into their meditation posture and stay. It wasn't disturbing, really. And it was kind of heartbreaking and wonderful to see these 2 little warm creatures that had been left. They'd been rejected from somewhere and brought somewhere else. But their sort of knowing that they're welcome, even when they weren't. And the way that just their whole body and being and all their energy was just all about finding welcome and just snuggling into that. Of course, it's like as if I'm alive, so I'm welcome. And I snuggle my way to where I feel comfortable and cozy and when that's what's needed. And then I go play with over there where play is. And I'd love for us to recover that knowing, not that we're not going to be snuggling each other, don't worry. But despite all the odds and despite all the evidence, that something in us that could have that ignorance or innocence or confidence or just knowing, kind of body knowing. That simply moves where it needs to go without a question of whether it could get what it needs. And that could sound kind of sweet or not very complicated and not very hard, but try it. And if you feel like if you try it, that you feel a little scared or that you might die, then you'll start to realize how this sort of puppy mode goes against some really heavy duty programming or habit energy that we do somewhere understand. That programming to be what protects us and keeps us alive. And so when this other life movement tries to cross that, don't be surprised if you think you're going to die if you do that, if you let that movement happen, that natural puppy kind of snuggle into your deep connection. And partly because it can seem like a too sweet metaphor for meditation and spiritual practice. Puppies. Before we really begin to meditate, to really deconstruct, unconstruct, grapple with. Our sense that what meditation and spiritual path and life are about is getting it together and pushing through to get something or somewhere. Like to be on your best behavior. And sometimes it's important to be able to kind of. Hold on a little longer without falling apart. But as a way of life or as a spiritual practice, you won't get anywhere. That's a good way to not get something or somewhere. To try to be on your best behavior. Whereas to let this sort of something that's kind of way too sweet and too innocent and has been rejected and has been moved from one place to another and still knows love or warmth or safety and goes there. It's not a something that we have this long-term view with a lot of foresight and words for what we're doing and where we're going. It's this puppy kind of movement, like wiggling along, still learning how to walk. Don't see too well. Don't have any protection. Not very tall. And it starts to reorient us towards what's small and what's big. So we'd like to be big so that we're safe. Or we'd like to be small so that we're safe, whatever your conditioning is. And the puppy movement is a different relationship of small to big. Happy being small and being small, happily moving towards big from time to time, where I can be warm and fed and so on. And so the practice of meditation and life as welcome starts to do this sort of chiropractic adjustment with our programming around small and big, and whether we like or don't like hierarchy. This is a completely different thing. It's not, there's not room for this kind of thing, because it's small snuggles its way into big and is safe there. And big has room for small. And so when we're caught in some awful part of our mind that's a small mind, even if it seems to take up all the space, it can know itself as small mind and let, as a small creature, this hurts, I need help, I need food, I need water. It can move in a way that's actually helpful instead of just further entangling. And so another wonderful practice especially now that we're in silence is knowing I don't know, but that's not an excuse for anything. It's not a reason to give up or to push or something. I just know I don't know. And then pausing and letting something wiggle that's warm and not tall. And so when you notice that you feel like the silence feels like a jail to you, something that you feel that you should be obedient to or that's being imposed on you, feeling for the possibility of a shift. And maybe you might remember a conversation that you had sometime in your life, I hope, where there was maybe a problem and no one had an answer, but there was still talking and listening. But whoever had the problem was allowed to really think and be listened to and not be given a solution too soon. And that really uncomfortable extended silence, just listening and letting the not knowing, not having an answer state be intense and work for us. And then pop, the insight comes up. And it fits so naturally, so well, those pop insights. Unlike the answer that someone else could have given you. Even if it's even the same words, when we let it pop out of the discomfort of knowing I don't know and just hanging out there uncomfortably long, so we can keep listening and giving room for that knowing I don't know and still here I am. If we could bring that attitude into every aspect of the day and the retreat. Knowing I don't know, but that's not an end of anything. That is a beginning. And we can bring it into the working meditation so that we really notice if I'm putting pressure on myself or if I think it actually doesn't matter if I do a good job or not. The attitude of knowing I don't know how it's supposed to be, I don't know what's staying true to myself. And here I am, working, walking, waiting in line. Sitting, lying, walking. So at the beginning of a meditation, you might feel, do I want to sit down or lie down? And sit in the chair, sit on the ground, sit, lie down. Lie down face down, side, front. Know you don't know. And let it pop at the beginning of the meditation. And then that's your experiment to stay true to that pop till the end. So it's not a sort of shuffling around all the time, knowing I don't know and trying to pop all the time. Just at the beginning, lying down or sitting? I don't know. Pop. Okay, lying down again. Yes. The first few days, usually you'll find out that you're even more tired than you feel right now. And the more you rest at first, the more in touch with how tired you are, probably. So don't be alarmed. That's normal. If you're not tired, great. Some people actually rested before coming this time. Yes, great. Eventually you will be rested. And as we get rested, one of the main things that changes is being rested, I start to notice what was going on even when I wasn't rested. What was starting to pop and get clear and move in new ways. So just leaving space for yourself. Feeling welcome. And being a welcomer as well. So we shift out of the mode of attack, of judging, of figuring out if it's right or wrong, or how do I feel about this, but just shifting back, welcome. There's emotion, yep, no problem. There's thinking, yep, check. There's a body posture too, always, no problem. And just hanging out a little bit longer away from that, like when children play tag, chase, and there's a home base that we come to that no one can catch me here. Either we could play, there's no home base for a while. Or we change what the home base is. Instead of habit, energy, and program, we leave room for either a different programming or no programming. A different storyline or no storyline about what's the same material, what's still here. Does anyone have a question or anything to share? Yes, Mikhail.
How to deal with resistance if it feels like there's no one would like to welcome, or no one who would like to receive a welcome.
Yeah.
No one who would like to listen.
Yeah.
As it feels like totally restricted.
Yeah.
Resistant.
Yeah. So good. Almost for sure that will happen more than once this week to all of us. So welcome to what deep breath sounds really easy, but it's not. So sometimes there can just be the acceptance that this is the situation, which is a kind of welcome. But if the word triggers a no, I don't want to be welcome and I don't want to welcome anybody. I don't want to hear anything. I don't want to say anything. There can still be the acceptance of this is what this is like, and how does this feel? How do I know this in the body? What does this feel like? But there's also the changing the channels sometimes. So, all right, I can't listen to her up there, and I can't do this welcome thing, so what? Here I am. And that's the main reason you're here, actually, is to reject me and feel your own instructions. So it can be one of the more useful moments of a retreat. Can be. it needs to happen sometimes. Sometimes it can be in a more gentle way, especially knowing that we're actually on the same team. Like, I want you to reject me. And I'm happy to give instructions, but every time I give them, it's not for everyone. I don't think, in my experience also, I don't find that there's that one instruction that fits everyone in the room at that one time. So that's the situation. There'll be things that you should reject. They're not for you. There's not pretending that it's all for all of us and so on. And then asking myself, okay, so then what? So what? Here I am. And that's also where that commitment to come here, knowing I don't know what this week is going to be, and part of me not liking that and part of me liking that. So befriending the part that likes the adventure and the acknowledgement that we never know. We don't know. But the commitment to be here anyway. So it's a completely different place of action to say, I agree to be here and I know I don't know what's going to happen. Normally, we'll only sign, I'll be there if you tell me in advance exactly what's going to happen, and then I'll feel for a while and I'll let you know if I'm coming. Which isn't really true. It's not a true way. It's a good idea with certain people. But it's not actually accurate. So feeling where you've committed to be here, why? For yourself, why? Not for me. And then from that place, okay, so what? I'm stuck. Or I don't like that. That's not for me, I don't think. Or I know this is reaction, but what to do? That's all I've got is reaction and reaction and reaction on reaction. So then what? Something may come if you give a long pause. Otherwise, the feet are good. The breath is a really helpful tool. It can actually emphasize the out-breath or even breathe out and stop breathing for some moments. You won't probably be able to think. So it gives a break in that heavy kind of handed mode, the resistance. But getting to know what resistance feels like so that we can notice when it's acting on us, for us, in us, etc., is one of the most useful things that you could possibly learn. I'll just end with a poem, a short poem. It's a poem by Wendell Berry, and if you were here last year, you're not surprised by that, I guess. I dream of a quiet one who expects nothing and defends nothing, but only knows where the rarest wildflowers are blooming and who goes and finds that she is smiling, not by her own will. And just one fun thing in the poem where he rhymes knows and goes is this other kind of movement. He knows where the rarest wildflowers are blooming. And who goes. It's much more of a puppy kind of movement than our usual way that we're willing to be moved, our usual agreement with life. And so we can just let that shift of authority happen from the one who knows, and because I know, I have to talk a lot, and I have to expect a lot and defend a lot. And the one who knows so little that's also so much really for myself, my own love, that there's nothing to say or expect or defend. There's just the going. Anything else before we end? Any other question or anything to share? May all beings be at peace, friendly with life, the big life that includes death. And may our practice and lives be dedicated to the momentum towards freedom for all, including ourselves. So the morning meditative movement is definitely optional. We do mostly improvised movement. Sometimes I'll bring music and sometimes not. And I don't expect it to be something that every single person in the room will like to do or be willing to do. And so it could happen, that'd be a miracle, but. So feel free to try it one time and then not come back, or just not come if that's not your kind of thing. Or if that's not your kind of thing, maybe that's exactly the good reason to come. But it's not like a yoga class where I tell you to adjust your tibia and your, you know, you're doing your movement and I'm doing my movement. And we're tuning into places in the body. For example, the lungs, you could feel just now that you have lungs, where they are, their volume, and how it is to kind of rest inside that whole volume. And from that resting in that actual place that makes itself then movement anywhere in the body. So it's that kind of bare bones and simple. It's also, some people who love dance and movement also might find it's too bare. Too unexciting. So feel really free, up to your own intuition, whether you come or not. But it's a really good time to bring movement into the day. It's really important to have movement in the day, not only lying down all the time. It's helpful to have that way of also getting out of our habit energies with physical movement. And so if you don't come here, then do your own, whether you walk or jog or dance or do yoga. Qigong, Tai Chi, whatever, feel free. But it's a good time to do something. And it's a deep rest retreat and you're tired, but get up anyway. And there's then the whole day for resting. Get up so you can rest. The meditation before breakfast tends to be sort of important in the day. It's a kind of certain atmosphere and mode that happens in the first meditation of the day. So come and then rest all day. So please rest well. The hall today and every day is available all the time. You can come anytime. We respect the timings that are on the schedule, but apart from that, it's yours. So enjoy. And if you're tired, like many people, sleep well, and see you in the morning. Thank you for being here.